Well, thank you so much, Andrew, for the introduction. Thanks also to Fritz and indeed Stina for the readings. We've been now coming to Verbier for the past, I guess, 20 years, and have been involved in the chaplaincy for about 18 years. And actually, what I'm loving about this year is we have actually gotten to know the community that worships in Verbier better through this platform. So thank you for the privilege to come back to you again this season and to be able to share from John the Apostle. The topic for my talk today is the other helper, the other helper. Now I invite you to come with me to this special seminar, or shall we say webinar, being conducted here by our Lord Jesus Christ at this weekend retreat in the Upper Room, Jerusalem. The background is Jesus nears the end of his public ministry. Now, John turns to the last day before Jesus dies. He looks back and says, in all his ministry, Jesus had been demonstrating God's love towards his disciples. And John looks forward from this point and says that Jesus will now love them to the end. It's beautiful that God's love is complete. This group of believers, this group of disciples, and all Christians to follow, he promised will do greater works than he had done. Now, the content of this seminar is threefold. The first is, who is the Holy Spirit? Who is he? The second is, how does he relate to Jesus Christ? And the third is, what does he do? What does the Holy Spirit do? So now let's join in this seminar and consider the first point. Who is Jesus, or rather, who is the Holy Spirit, this other helper that our Lord Jesus promised? In John 14, from verse 15, Jesus reveals God's plan to send another person, whom he calls the Parakletos, meaning the advocate, the comforter, the strengthener, or the helper, who will make it possible for the disciples to do greater works. Greater works, not more spectacular miracles like walking on the water or feeding of the 5,000 or raising people from the dead, but really greater works in terms of spiritual and social impact as a result of the promulgation of the gospel. And we are seeing that in this era of COVID-19, in this pandemic, a lot of hearts are being opened. There are greater opportunities and new opportunities for the church to share the good news. In fact, in this century alone, we have more Christians than all the centuries past. We have about 2.5 billion Christians. Greater works than these. So what did our Lord Jesus teach about the coming of the Holy Spirit? Verse 15 to 17. We see in these two verses six remarkable facts about the person of the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our helper. The first, Jesus promises to give the gift of the Father, the Holy Spirit, to true believers. The Holy Spirit comes to us when we believe. The second thing Jesus says is that the Spirit will be another, meaning another of the same kind. The third leg of the tripod, if you will. Andrew spoke to us about 3 weeks ago on how they met and discovered Jesus. Richard spoke last week on how they came into a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And today we consider the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. And here's the mystery of the Trinity, three persons in one, Father, Son, and Spirit, all distinct, co-equal, co-existent, separate from one another, yet one God. The Holy Spirit will continue the work that Jesus Christ had begun, discipling, strengthening, counseling, and ministering to them. But now he promises another is coming who will do the same work. The third fact Jesus announces is that the Holy Spirit will be a continually abiding presence. He'll be with you forever. He comes to abide. He comes to dwell within his disciples forever. The fourth fact is that the Spirit will reveal truth to us. What he does and says can be absolutely relied upon to be fundamental reality. No confusion, no deceit, no disillusionment is possible. The Holy Spirit gives us scriptures, and scripture understood and interpreted by the Spirit is absolutely dependable. The fifth fact Jesus says is that this remarkable new resource is only available to believers. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him. There's a conspiracy around the world to try and ignore God and take God out of his own world. As a result, Jesus says the world cannot receive this remarkable resource, which is available only to those who believe. He is a source of knowledge not to be found in any university in the world, including these top 11 institutions: MIT, Princeton, Stanford, Oxford, Harvard, Cambridge, Imperial, Caltech, the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology, UCL, and the University of Chicago. Great as these institutions are, cannot function in the realm that is the purview of the Holy Spirit alone. This resource is a fountain of strength, an ability to revive, to encourage, and to put a new vitality into life. The Spirit gives us a cleansing of the conscience and heart that human psychology cannot and knows nothing about. The sixth fact Jesus discloses here is that this will be a resource that is only available from within. You know him, he says to these disciples, for he dwells with you and will be in you. When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, something shifted in the atmosphere. He began to form a community of believers called the church, people who belong to God, people who belong to one another. One of the things I've enjoyed by being part of this digital service is how relationships in this platform are really genuine. We belong to the Father together. This remarkable revelation concerning the Spirit is confirmed to us across the 2 millennia of human history and testimony. Thus, we can fully believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about in this revelation of the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, secondly, how does the Holy Spirit relate to Jesus? Our Lord now turns his attention to this subject. The good news for the disciples and for the church is that we do not lose Jesus when the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus would be back by means of the Spirit, and he would stay with the disciples. When he reads, "I will not leave you desolate," the actual word used here is orphans. I will not leave you orphans. That was surely how they felt at the time, like orphans. The one whom they had learned to love and trust was leaving them. But Jesus promises, when the Spirit comes, I will come with him. Here he puts his finger on what is probably the most wonderful truth about the coming of the Holy Spirit. His primary work is to make Jesus real to his disciples, to make Jesus real to the church. Jesus continues, "Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me." What Jesus means here is, you will continue to see me by means of the Holy Spirit. You will know me more richly, more deeply, more truly after the day of Pentecost than before. The great truth is that the Holy Spirit makes Jesus real. And there is more. There is more. That new life would be, says Jesus, expressed in two remarkable ways, two phases of the Christian life. In that day, the day of Pentecost and following, you will know that I am in my Father and in you, and I in you. Here Jesus expresses the simplest, in simplest words, the most profound truth that we can not ever fathom. You in me. This is our first experience when we come to Christ. We know we belong to another family. We realize that we are all his children. But soon we begin to learn another great truth, that he is in us. As believers, we learn that our Christian life is not about how much we can do for God, but how much God can do in us and through us. Our Lord Jesus says, loving obedience is the key to progressive intimacy with him. If you have Jesus in your heart, the only thing you want more than anything else is to know him better, to go deeper, more than just mere intellectual assent, as Philippians 3:10 tells us. And then there is an interruption in verses 22 to 24 from another disciple whose name was Judas, but not Iscariot. Here again, we see intimacy, his love for us, for his disciples, and our love toward him. Loving obedience brings a deepening knowledge of Jesus Christ that amplifies the beautiful attributes of the Christian character. And now, may I conclude by briefly talking about what the Holy Spirit will do. Jesus has shown us who the Holy Spirit is and how he relates to him. Now he has a further word on what the Spirit of God will do when he comes, verses 25 to 27. And here I end with three further revelations of the work of the Holy Spirit. First, Jesus reminds us again that the Holy Spirit comes in his name to make Jesus known to us. Secondly, he will teach and remind the church of everything Jesus has taught. The Holy Spirit has the power and the capacity to trigger the data retrieval system in the minds of his disciples and indeed in the minds of the church, the power and capacity to bring back everything that they had learned. Thirdly, not only will he remind and teach them, but he will impart peace. Jesus said the work of the Spirit is to impart the peace which he alone can give. My peace I give unto you. We can have peace in the knowledge that Jesus Christ is always in charge. In these trying days, in these trying times, in these unprecedented times, the COVID-19 has shown us, the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to cope. COVID-19 is our challenge today. But what is our attitude towards this pandemic and the events that surround it? Jesus says, my peace I give you. My peace I leave with you. In the final paragraph, our Lord answers the question that must be it must have been the uppermost question in their minds. When will the Spirit come? That is actually our subject for next week. But for now, let us invite him to fall afresh on us. The Spirit of God is here. So let us sing together, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Thank you.